Hello everyone, and welcome back to yet another episode of GenSTEM. As usual, I'm your host, Neha. This episode is our 7th episode, and I cannot believe that we're already in August. This year is flying by so fast. Either way, I'm still super excited to be back and discussing a brand new topic with you all. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, or if you aren't very familiar with GenSTEM, GenSTEM is a podcast that discusses all the current events and new discoveries happening in the STEM field. I would also encourage you to check out our trailer to learn more about our podcast and its goals. But do have to listen to this episode, of course. So in this episode, we'll be talking about what exactly biodiversity is, and the importance of it. We'll also analyze the causes of biodiversity loss and the solutions to it. So let's dive right into the episode. Biodiversity is a term used to describe the huge variety of life on Earth, in all forms and interactions. If this sounds super broad to you, that's because it is. Biodiversity is known to be the most complex feature of our Earth, and it is the most vital too. It can be referred to every living thing, including plants, bacteria, animals, and humans. Scientists have estimated that there are 8.7 million species of plants and animals in existence. However, only 1.2 million species have been identified and described so far, most of which are insects. This means millions of other organisms remain a complete mystery to us. I know what most of you are thinking. Are bugs and animals really that important to me? Believe me, they are. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat are all ultimately relying on biodiversity. Some examples are obvious. Without plants, there would be no oxygen, and without bees to pollinate, there would be no fruits or nuts. But there are also many other examples that are less obvious. For example, coral reefs provide the needed protections from cyclones and tsunamis for those living on coasts, while trees can absorb air pollution in urban areas. There are even some weird examples. Most of you might think that tropical turtles and spider monkeys have little to do with maintaining a stable climate, but these large fruit eaters spread seeds to different places, especially the seeds of dense and hardwood trees that are most effective at removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. If you take some time to explore each ecosystem, you'll find that there are countless number of interactions. If this is left undamaged, then this produces a finely balanced, healthy system which contributes to a healthy, sustainable planet. The richness of biodiversity also has many other human benefits. For example, many medicines are harvested from nature. An example of this is a fungi that grows on the fur of sloths, and this can help fight cancer. Another instance of this is that varieties of domesticated animals and crops are also very important to us. These varieties have already solved the challenge of, for example, coping with a drought, or salty soils. In fact, if money is a measure, the services provided by ecosystems are estimated to be worth trillions of dollars, which is double the world's GDP. So probably by now you understand what biodiversity is, and how crucially important it is to humanity. So what exactly is destroying biodiversity anyways? You probably have expected this, but we're actually the ones to be blamed. As human population rises, wild areas are cut down in order to create farmland, housing, and industrial sites. In fact, about 40 meters of hectares, which is the area of Britain and Ireland combined, were lost globally, and this was just in 2016. If you go back to imagining about how if money is a measure, then biodiversity loss in Europe alone costs the continent about 3% of its GDP, or about 450 million euros per a year. I don't know about you, but that is a lot of money. Another huge factor of biodiversity loss is poaching and unsustainable hunting for food. More than 300 mammal species, from hippos to bats, are being eaten into extinction. Pollution and global trade are also other major factors of biodiversity loss. They only contribute to further harm also. Because of global trade, amphibians have been suffering one of the greatest declines of all animals due to a fungal disease thought to be spread around the world by pet trade. Global shipping has also spread highly damaging invasive species around the planet, particularly rats. The hardest hit of all habitats may be rivers and lakes, with freshwater animal populations in these areas collapsing by 81% since 1970. Following this was a huge water extraction for farms and people, and plus pollution and dams to all of them. So how exactly bad is biodiversity loss so far? Very. The best studied creatures that are being affected by this are the ones that are large mammals, just like us. The number of tigers, for example, have already plunged by 97% in just the last century. There are also examples of bigger animals that have been already wiped out by humans. Examples of this include woolly mammoths. In fact, the extinction rate of species is now thought to be about 1,000 times higher than it was before humans dominated the planet. This may be even faster than the losses after a giant meteorite wiped out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. And according to some scientists, the sixth mass extinction in the geological history has already begun. Species extinction provides a clear but narrow window on the destruction of biodiversity. It is the disappearance of the last member of the group that is, by definition, rare. Now, most importantly, what can we do to help fight this biodiversity loss? The only answer to this is giving nature the space and protection it needs. Wildlife reserves are the obvious solution, and the world currently protects only 15% of its land and 7% of its oceans. But some argue that half the land surface must be set aside for nature. However, the human population is rising, and wildlife reserves don't work if they come in the way of local people trying to make a living. The approaching crisis for elephants and rhinos in Africa is an extreme example of this. The key to this is making animals worth more alive than they are dead. You can do this by supporting tourism or giving farmers money for livestock killed by wild predators. But I know that this can lead to some tough choices. But know that if we can make the right choices, we can all help fight against biodiversity loss. Most wildlife is destroyed by land being cleared for cattle, soil, palm oil, timber, and leather. Most of us consume these products every day, with palm oil being found in many foods. Choosing only sustainable options help, as does eating less meat, particularly beef. Another approach is to highlight the value of biodiversity by estimating the financial value of ecosystem services provided as natural capital. Sometimes this can lead to real savings. Over the last 20 years, New York has spent over $2 billion protecting the natural watershed that supplies the city with clean water. It has worked so well that 90% of the water needs no longer further filtering. Building a water treatment plant instead would have costed $10 billion. Another example of people taking action against the biodiversity loss is by using innovative ways, such as using reforestation drones. As we discussed before, habitat loss and fragmentation caused by deforestation is a leading cause of biodiversity loss. The simplest solution is to stop cutting down so many trees down in the first place. But to help regenerate areas of forests really quickly, tree planting will give a helping hand with the process of natural regeneration. But tree planting by hand is pretty slow and takes a lot of time. So a company from the UK called Biocarbon Engineering has come up with a potential solution. The solution was a drone that shoots trees into the ground. First of all, the area of regeneration is mapped by the drone. Then the drone will fire around 2 to 3 meters above the surface, shooting biodegradable seed pots into the soil, which contain all the nutrients the tree needs to start growing. Biocarbon Engineering estimates that this speeds up the planting of trees by 10x and at 15% of the cost. This has led them to predict by 2022 they'll be planting 1 billion trees each year. The aim is to give these drones to reforestation organizations to allow them to scale up much more quickly and kickstart forest recovery. There is also a United Nations Biodiversity Summit that is being held virtually on September 30, 2020. Under the theme of Urgent Action on Biodiversity for Sustainable Development, this event aims to address the challenges in achieving the goal amid the COVID-19 pandemic. This is an example of a current event that is going on to take place in order to help deal with the biodiversity crisis. I also encourage all of you to do some research on your own about biodiversity and hopefully look for ways to make a positive impact in your very own communities. Well, that's all for today, and I'm going to start wrapping up this episode now. I'm hopeful that you learned about biodiversity and the importance behind it. I also hope that you learned about the causes of biodiversity loss and what you can do to help. If you liked this week's episode, please subscribe to my podcast and stay in tune for the next episode. While you're waiting, you can also check out our blog at genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. And if you didn't watch our previous episodes, feel free to also check them out. In the first episode, we talked about tips for landing remote internships and how to ace your next virtual interview. In the second episode, we talked about the steps for vaccine development. And in the third episode, we talked about what exactly dark matter and dark energy are. In the fourth episode, we talked about the impact of environmental issues on human health. In the 5th episode, we talked about the good and bad about CRISPR. And finally, in the 6th episode, we talked about natural selection and the evidence behind it. And if there are any topics that you want to be discussed on GenSTEM or if you have any questions about the podcast, please feel free to email me at genstemblog@gmail.com. GenstemBlog@gmail.com. I'm open to any new ideas and I'll try to respond to them as soon as possible. I also started an Instagram account for GenSTEM just recently, so I'd appreciate it if you would support us over there too. I'll post all the new updates there so you can be up to date and well informed on what's going on at GenSTEM. I look forward to talking to you all again next week. And as usual, in the meantime, keep learning and stay curious.